Retro.
Go.
Fido.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the April 22nd, 2012 edition of Space Talk, live on the air right here on WMMB. Well, I got to tell you, I'm really fired up today. So much has happened during this past week. So much is about to happen about a week from now. And last night, the leaders of our local space community gathered for a big event at the Kennedy Space Center. And during the next hour, we're going to touch on all of these topics and fill you in on what's going on with our nation's space program. And speaking of last night, the National Space Club Florida Committee held its annual Kurt Debus Award Dinner and presented Patty Stratton of United Space Alliance with this year's honor. Patty is here in the studio with me today as a way to continue the celebration. And when I say that the Space Coast is home to the most skilled aerospace workforce in America, the team Patty helped lead during her time at USA is exactly the kind of people I'm talking about. And her leadership definitely a key reason why she was honored last night with the Debus Award. We're going to get to Patty in just a few minutes. First, I want to remind you that we are live on the air right now, which means that if you'd like to participate in the program, perhaps you have a question about the space program you'd like to ask or would like to discuss something in general, you are invited to give us a call. Don't be shy. The phone number is 768-1240. If you're listening online from faraway places, the area code is 321. Appropriate enough for the space program or the Space Coast. Anyway, there is a story behind that. I'll have to tell you that someday. If you are shy or you just haven't paid your phone bill, you can send an email to spacetalking@aol.com. Well, with those preliminaries out of the way, it's time for my weekly broadcast blog, Orbital Inclinations. This past week, the Space Shuttle Discovery departed the Kennedy Space Center for good, flown to our nation's capital atop a NASA 747 shuttle carrier aircraft. Bittersweet was the word most commonly used here on the Space Coast as people described their feelings about the day. And I must say there truly is no better word for the emotion that I felt too. Hey, type out the word on your computer, right-click, check the synonyms. Your options include poignant, nostalgic, affecting, touching, and sentimental. Those are all good words, but perhaps none more appropriate than bittersweet. It was sweet because, in my opinion anyway, there is no greater sight in aviation, and perhaps even in the space program, than seeing a space shuttle flying atop a 747. It's an absolutely mesmerizing sight. I like to call it the world's biggest biplane. Truth is, as much as I thrill at the sight of a rocket launch, I'm probably the only person even remotely associated with the space program that secretly cheered for the weather to be bad here at Kennedy Space Center, so the shuttle would have to land at Edwards in California and have to be ferried home just so I could see that thing fly over the beaches. Of course, it was sweet, too, because thousands of people in and around Washington, D.C. got that rare chance to see an incredible spectacle as the NASA pilots circled the nation's capital several times before landing at Dulles International Airport. Of course, there was plenty of bitterness, too. My wife and I were at the shuttle landing facility for Discovery's flyout Tuesday morning. We watched as NASA 905 took off, flew over the beaches, and a few minutes later made one more low pass over the runway before heading north. Standing near us were current Space Center workers, members of the NASA Alumni League who had worked on the shuttle in its early days, and others, including the commander of Discovery's final mission into orbit, Steve Lindsay. As Discovery faded from view, I looked at Steve, and you could see that he, like so many others around him, were on the verge of tears, nearly overcome with strong and conflicting emotions that were provoked by yet another sign the space shuttle program had truly ended. Later, he told me, as he told others, I didn't expect that reaction. Well, by the time I had returned home that morning, Discovery was just making its initial approach toward Washington, and the cable news channels were beginning to show pictures. Occasionally, you would see shots of people on the ground looking up, and they were always waving and cheering and yelling. People were thrilled to see Discovery. But my bitter moment of the day came when the 747 finally landed at Dulles, and it hit me that Discovery will never fly in the air again, permanently grounded. And my bitterness turned, well, to disappointment and a little anger. Disappointment because, well, our nation's leaders have failed us, and I think continue to do so. Anger because we should never have scrubbed this program until we had a replacement capability built, tested, and operational. Too often these days, this line of thinking immediately leads to playing the blame game. Someone inevitably points out that it was President Bush who killed the shuttle and then never supported the replacement program Constellation with enough money. Others say it was President Obama who killed Constellation, so he's to blame for our woes. And then they point out that he added a whole two flights to the shuttle manifest. And of course, it gets a lot nastier from there. As they might say on Battlestar Galactica, I don't give a frack who's to blame. All our leaders in Washington, past and present, can share in the responsibility for providing us with the bittersweet day we experienced last Tuesday. This week, we saw thousands of people cheer as Discovery flew overhead. That tells me the spirit of exploration is alive and well in this country. Polls may tell us that support for the space program is a mile wide and an inch deep, but I think it's there nonetheless. Again, I say it's time for our nation's leaders to open their hearts and their nation's wallet to the possibility that some investments in our future are worth doing just for the sake of doing, rather than counting on economic payoffs realized in time for the next election. Finally, with Discovery gone and Endeavor soon to follow, it's time for all of us to look forward and get the word out that this nation is by no means done with human spaceflight. And that for heaven's sake, the Kennedy Space Center is not wasting away gathering cobwebs. Work is being done to prepare our future adventures in space. To be sure, the Kennedy Space Center, indeed the entire space coast, is open for business. And that's this week's Orbital Inclinations. If you want to comment on today's commentary, well, I invite you to go to the WMMB website. Guess what the address is? WMMBAM.com. Click on the keywords Space Talk, and you'll be able to go to a page that has a link to all of our Orbital Inclinations there on the left. You'll be able to read today's commentary and leave some comments if you'd like. We'll be happy to interact with you online. Also there on that page, you can find links to podcasts of all the previous, well, at least the ones we have recorded of Space Talks this year and in past years. And, of course, we'll keep you updated throughout the week on what's going on there at the Space Talk show here on the Space Talk page at WMMBAM.com. Again, when we return, we're going to be joined by Patty Stratton, and we're going to talk more about the space shuttle program. We're going to learn more about the incredible workforce that makes those birds fly. We had an incredible night last night, again, at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, at the Debus Conference Center, as we celebrated Patty with the Debus Award, named for the first Kennedy Space Center director. Everything went really well. Delaware North did an outstanding job in providing us with a great event. And thankfully, the rain stayed away. We had 300 people in basically in tuxes and dresses getting ready to be drenched on out at the Space Center. And fortunately, that didn't happen. The weather stayed clear, and we had a great night. We'll talk more about that with Patty as well here in just a few moments. Phone lines open again for your questions or comments about anything having to do with our space program. Give us a call, 321-768-1240, or send an email to spacetalking@AOL.com. Please stay tuned. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
And welcome back to Space Talk, everyone. Again, 321-768-1240 is the number to call to participate in the program today, or you can also send us an email to spacetalking@AOL.com, which Claire did. Claire doesn't say where she's from, but I got an email from her, and I think I can read this without any worry of censorship. She says, "Where was our glorious leader last Tuesday?" And I think she's referring to our president. "When Discovery flew into D.C., did he give it a salute? Perhaps a one-finger salute. That is what he gave the Space Center and the people who work there." Well, that's the way a lot of people feel about it. And again, as I said in my commentary, I think there's plenty to blame to go around. I'm not going to pick sides in this. I think we're all screwed up right now in terms of our priorities. Well, with our space program and probably a lot of areas, other areas in life too. By the way, I could probably go on for about 10 minutes here about how screwed up the Minnesota legislature is right now for not approving the Viking Stadium. But we'll talk about that another day, perhaps later this fall. Speaking of what's happened last night at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, the National Space Club Florida Committee presented my next guest with the Dr. Kurt H. Debus Award, which is the most prestigious space-related award given in the state of Florida. In case you didn't know, Dr. Debus was the first director of the Kennedy Space Center when it opened 50 years ago. It was Debus who led the design and construction of the Space Center, and much of the way we do things now, especially at Launch Complex 39, were the direct result of ideas he came up with. Believe it or not, in some cases, literally as the result of a notion originally drawn on the back of a paper napkin. So for this year's award, and I'm not sure if she ever drew anything on the back of a napkin, we'll find out. The Space Club Board of Directors, which I am proud to be a part of, selected Patty Stratton of United Space Alliance. Patty is back in the studio with me. She was my guest once before. She's returning number two on her list. Patty, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you are here, too. Well, this is great. So there was this huge dinner last night. And I already know about you enough to know that you just loved every moment of it, especially when everybody was gushing on you and talking about you. We had, well, let me let you talk about it. You just as the honoree, and you look out on that crowd, tell us about who was there and what kind of a night it was for you.
Well, it was an incredibly humbling night. I think more, not so much for me personally, but to the recognition of our entire team and what our team has accomplished at Kennedy Space Center. And I don't just mean, you know, USA or the shuttle team. I mean all of USA, all of NASA, our entire community with, you know, safely flying out the shuttle with, as several people said, with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was extremely humbling to see that the entire industry was there to recognize what the team had done.
We had in the crowd, we had three astronauts. I think, I never did see Don McMonagall. I knew he was on the list. Did you ever happen to see him, Tracy? No, you didn't?
I don't know
if he made it or not. But we had Roy Bridges and Forrest McCartney, former center directors. My wife and I had a chance to talk to Forrest and to Miss Ruth, his wife, before everything began. They needed a quiet moment away from the reception, so they came into the big room where I was getting ready because I served as MC last night. And we had a great conversation talking about old times and talking about his kind of feelings of where we're at today and all. It was good stuff, and I'll keep that kind of private for now. But it was great to see these people and talk about some of the other folks that were there that you were particularly happy to see.
Well, Bob Cabana was there as the center director. Rita Wilcoxon, who was my NASA counterpart at the time when we flew out the shuttle, were both there. 10 of the past Debus Award winners were there, which was just, you know, an incredible honor. We talked a little bit about, you know, the history of KSC and the history of the space program. And when you go down that list and you look at the names of the 10 past recipients, it's, you know, it's just a who's who who made things happen at Kennedy Space Center and in the space program.
Well, let's talk about the company that you are in now, because your name's going to go on the trophy. The Debus Trophy, by the way, is this sort of this twisted metallic ribbon, stainless steel. And I can never remember the artist's name. Actually, I probably have it here in my – I got a copy of the program in front of me.
Yes.
No dead air. No, David Hirschler. Yeah. David Hirschler is the artist. And what a lot of people don't know, realize, if you want to go if it does start raining later today, go watch Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, because his work is in the background of all the scenes on planet Vulcan. So it's presented as like Vulcan art. And I don't think that's how it directly got related to us or how that introduction got made. But he's kind of a spacey guy art. And so this really neat ribbon of steel, it's on display at the visitor complex in the Debus Conference Center, which is the early exploration building. So you walk into the early exploration building, you see this giant Soyuz mock-up over the NASA meatball, which I think is kind of symbolic in a whole other way. and then you go off to your right, and you'll see it. And you'll see your picture there for the next year. Did you see it?
I did. It's a very big picture.
It's a very big picture. How was the likeness? Yeah. Was the family pleased?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, they were very pleased. And it probably took about 30 seconds before my daughter took a picture in front of it with the picture behind her and posted it to Facebook.
And posted it to Facebook. I'll have to friend her and see what that's like. That's great. Well, we're talking about these past Debus Award winners. I'm going to run down some of them. That, first of all, the first Debus Award was given to George Page in 1999. Mm-hmm. He's passed on. We've lost George. George was the first launch director for the first space shuttle mission in 91 or in 81. And legend, wait for it, Derry. You know, I mean, he was just – there's
incredible.
You know, he's the mold for all these others that followed. Lyle Holloway, Lyle sat at my table. Lyle was the director of launch operations for Delta. Deltas don't disappoint. It was all because Lyle Holloway. Forrest McCartney, we mentioned. Bill Nelson wasn't there, but he's been honored. Bob Seek, the great, great launch director, and we were teasing him about the weather.
Yeah, being the greatest weatherman ever.
Yeah, that's right, and apparently getting the forecast wrong yesterday, which we were very happy about. I'm going to go down the whole list. George Fans, because I want everyone to understand that it's not just NASA people.
No, it
isn't.
It's
not just NASA contractors. But it really is the whole range of folks. George Faenza, the late George Faenza, was kind of representing McDonnell Douglas in the paleo world. Lee Solid, Rocket Man himself, Dr. Maxwell King, you know, and the whole education thing. I mean, that was just critical. And Joanne Morgan, my favorite. Tell us a little bit about Joanne Morgan, and you made her cry last night.
I know. I didn't mean to. Well, you know, we just did it at KSC for Women's History Month. We just did a woman's kind of a little networking event and a panel, and all of the women talked about Joanne and just how she really paved the way, and what it meant to be the first female engineer, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, we talking about last night was like iconic.
Yeah.
And everybody knew who she was, and you knew that you better not mess with her either.
Oh, absolutely. You know? She's tough.
She was tough.
She's tough with the biggest heart I've ever known.
She was a tough lady, but she was a huge mentor, and she was Rita Wilcoxon's mentor.
Was she really?
Yes.
And Joanne came, by the way, Joanne was a college intern, I think, during Mercury, and part of Gemini before she started here. First female engineer here at a time, and she likes to tell the story over and over again, there were no women's bathrooms at the Cape. And so whenever she had to go, she needed a full escort and a guard and all that, you know, and to see how far we've come.
Well, and the difference, you know, today is, you know, when you speak about what you do, the first thing the first thing you say is not, I'm a female that does.
Right.
You know, it's not really something that I think at KSC today that we don't think about that. It's it's commonly accepted. There are women in every from every level. You'll find women doing both technical and professional jobs.
And one of the biggest rounds of applause that came from all of the women and the spouses in the audience when you said something to the effect of you were there and your friends proved that women could work together without arguing?
Yeah, it was. Well, Rita and I used to joke because both of us, you know, having a job where that it was a predominantly male workforce. And so we used to joke with each other about, you know, how people used to tease us that we could get that we got along. And, you know, don't you have some little cat fights behind the scenes that none of us see? And so we always used to joke that, you know, how great it is that we can be a model that says women really can work together and be extremely successful.
You know, we've gone over this list of past recipients, and I'm running out of time here. We don't have time to list everybody, but I want to mention the others that were there last night. We said Roy Bridges, Adrian Lafitte from Atlas, Dick Bagley, also from USA,
yes.
and one of your good pals.
Yes.
Jim Kennedy was there in spirit because he narrated this great video that Tracy Yates put together from United Space Alliance for you that made you very embarrassed.
And I have to plug, you know, that Jim and I both went to Cocoa Beach High School.
That's
we were
true.
Both graduates from Cocoa Beach High School, and we talk about that often.
Go, what are they?
Minutemen.
Go Minutemen. Yep. There you go. I should have known that. Let's see. Dick Lyon was there last night, and the incredible Roy Tharp.
Yeah.
Mr. Personality himself here on the Space Coast, so that's really great. Well, we've got a lot more to talk to you about here. We're just a few seconds away from needing to take our break, but when you come back, we'll talk more about the space shuttle program itself and how you were involved and your team and all that. But we are going to take our 5-minute built-in hold at the bottom of the hour. As we do, we're going to get caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports. And again, as we said, when we're back, we'll talk some more with this year's Debus Award winner, Patty Stratton. Your calls welcome, 321-768-1240. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to Space Talk on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com. Space program. Here is Jim Banky.
And welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB. Our phone lines open for your contributions to the conversation we're having today with Patty Stratton about her work with the Space Shuttle program. Again, a reminder that we'd love to know what's on your mind. Give us a call, 321-768-1240, or send an email with your questions or comments to spacetalking@AOL.com, as Claire did in the first segment, and now clarifies for me that she is from Cocoa Beach, Maryland, and has lived in the Cocoa area since the early 70s. So good, Claire. Thanks for staying in touch with us during the show today. Our guest today, again, Patty Stratton, is the 2012 recipient of the Kurt Debus Award, which is bestowed by the National Space Club Florida Committee. We've already talked a little bit about the award itself. But to help us learn more about the Space Club, we are joined right now on the phone by this year's chairman of the Space Club, my good friend, Steve Griffin. Steve, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Well, good. Thanks for being on. Hey, if you're on speaker, if you can pick up, that'd be great because we can hear you a little bit better that way. And there, I heard it. Okay, good. Hey, Steve, tell us about the National Space Club first, and then tell us about the Debus Award. What should we know about it?
Well, the Space Club's been in existence for about 25 years now. It is one of the committees of the National Space Club from Washington, D.C. There's one in Los Angeles. There's one in Huntsville, Alabama. And this committee, as I said, has been here about 25 years.
Yeah.
Our purpose, obviously, is to make sure that we are promoting space leadership and stimulating the advancement of space applications. We sponsor educational activities and provide recognition for contributions to advancements in aerospace, operations, research, and education. We do this in several ways. The most prominent way we do it is monthly events that we hold, and the events are all outlined at nscfl.org, and
right.
You can go out there and check those things out. So I think that we've really come a long way in the last probably 10 years in putting together a robust set of speakers that come talk to us. We have center director, the wing commander. We have key folks from Space Florida, from the programs, and have had a wonderful response for those. Our biggest fundraising effort centers around our program that we partner with the Brevard County School District to send the kids of Brevard County and their teachers to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Center every year. And have a day of education and activity to help stimulate the science, technology, engineering, and math curriculums.
Yeah.
And let these kids see what happens when you get good grades in hard mm-hmm. classes.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, of course, one of the other big ways we do it is to recognize folks that are making, you know, big contributions to our space program here in Florida and in the various areas. And, of course, Patty Stratton being the big winner last night. Tell us what folks should know about Patty and why we selected her for the Debus Award.
Well, we had Patty was our 23rd recipient of the Debus Award, goes way back, and had some real giants in the industry have been representing as winners of the Debus Award. You know, Patty has really exemplifies the kind of person that that we want to recognize for contributions to space. I think the dinner last night was really outstanding. The testimonial that they put together for her was really terrific. Patty has worked tirelessly in operations. She's worked tirelessly in projects. I think for me, the biggest part of her testimony was the testimony about her was just pure leadership and the kind of commitment that comes from really caring about the people. And I think the thing that tipped the scale for the selection committee this year was knowing that a project of a program the size of shuttle leaving leaves a lot of questions of how do we do this? How do we keep focused on flight safety? How do we make sure that we take care of our people all at the same time? And Patty's leadership in all of that really helped lead to successful flyout and helped the entire team feel that they were valued and feel the dignity of their jobs, even as they knew that they were going away.
Yeah.
And as a leader of a large company here in Florida who's faced layoffs as well, I know how difficult it is to keep focus on performance and also then make sure that the people realize how valued they are at the same time. So I really, really applaud her, and everybody there was very happy to have her on that list of award winners.
And Stephen, I thank you for those words, and I want to ask you one more question about the Space Club, because I think there might be a perception out there, other space workers in the community, that Space Club, you know, we're all big stuffy, you know, you got to be a president or a top guy in a company or, you know, a big highfalutin stuff shirt to join the club. You know, this thing's open for everybody, and I think there's something for everybody in our club. Would you agree?
I agree, and one of the things that we've really tried to stress in our luncheons is, you know, whatever you do, we value your contribution to the lunch. This is a great opportunity to network. We've really expanded the kinds of people that come to that, and I know that all of the corporate tables are really trying to dig down into their organizations and bring their mid-level managers and normal work folks. And we want you to come in, you know, whatever you wear to work that day, that's your uniform to come and come spend an hour with us, spend a half hour listening to a great presentation, and then walk around the room and talk to other folks about what they do, whether they're rocket folks or range folks or and whether they come from the Economic Development Council or whatever. And I just think it's really turned out to be a wonderful experience, and I know that I've opened up my corporate tables for the last 4 years now, and it never ceases to amaze me afterwards. People come up and they say, well, you know, I just didn't know that. That was really terrific, and really stimulates people to know what the greater community is doing.
$25 to join is real simple. You go to the website, nscfl.org, right?
nscfl.org, and we will be happy to take your $25 American.
That's great. Steve, thanks for giving some of your time on a Sunday to talk about the club and about Patty. Go relax now. We had a long night last night.
Yes, we did. And, Patty, congratulations again, and couldn't be more proud to be among you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great one, Jim.
Steve, take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, it's Steve Griffin, chairman, this year's chairman, National Space Club Florida Committee. Before we talk about the shuttle workforce some more and your great team, I got to take Nancy's call from Indian Atlantic. She is calling and asking about, about President Obama? Nancy, welcome to the show. Oops, there we go. There you go. Hey, Nancy, we can hear you now.
Congratulations to Patty, and I just wanted to know, I have some friends that work at the Space Center, and when they were all excited about going to listen to Obama speak and when he was campaigning for the presidency, and he gave his undying devotion to the space program and said that things would go on as normal, from what I heard that he cleared the auditorium and put his own people in who were plants there, and most of the KSC employees did not get to go in and listen. Is that the truth?
Well, Nancy, that's that may be some truth to that, and I thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it. You know, here's the deal about that. You know, the presidential candidate comes down and says something that we all wanted to hear. That's not new to the Democrats. That's not new to the Republicans. Do candidates put their own people or plants, as you like to call it, into an audience? Yeah, absolutely they do. You can call them plants, or you can call them supporters, or you can call them paid supporters. You can call them donors or whatever you want to call them. You can call them people that, you know, lean a certain way or whatever, or known quantities. They want to make sure there's a good crowd there. It's not, is it the right thing to do? Probably not. Is it something that happens? Yes. Are both parties guilty of it? Yes. Are all candidates guilty of it? Yes. I think it's important, though, to hear what he had to say and what he did. I think it's important to hear what our Republican candidates are saying right now and see whether or not they're going to do what they say they're going to do. Both sides, it's the same thing. And my only frustration with the whole thing, as I said at the beginning of the program, is that there is guilt all around. And we're sitting here as a space community who get it, who understand what we want to do in space, who have a vision for a future that we want to see executed, who have expertise here that is just waiting to be used again, and we're sitting here frustrated because it isn't happening. And there's only so much we can do. We keep making noise. We make phone calls. You're on the air today. We can keep talking about it, and that's what we need to do. Bob Cabana, the Kennedy Space Center director, last night at the Divas Dinner made it very clear in talking amongst the group, and it was said again in the front. Patty mentioned it in her thing, that the Kennedy Space Center is open for business. There is spaceflight happening right now. Human spaceflight is not shut down. Boy, I'm going to go on and on here, and I'm going to lose my break, Patty. You're not going to get a chance to talk. And you're happy about that, aren't you? She's well on her head. There are six people in space right now. There's two astronauts, three Russian cosmonauts, and one guy from a Dutch astronaut. Burbank and Pettit are up there right now representing the astronaut corps. They've been up there for, well, seems like forever. They're going to be up there for a long time. This very morning, a Progress, Russian Progress cargo vehicle docked with the space station to bring cargo. Next week, next Monday, as we'll talk about in a little while, there's going to be another attempt to send a new commercial effort, SpaceX, up to dock with the space station. There are things going on from our space coast. Is it involve as many people as it used to? No. Will it ever involve that many people again? I can only hope so. But we need to move on to new programs and new ideas. And what happened to the shuttle is tragic. And what happened with the campaign and all that is frustrating. But we've got business to do, and we're going to do it, and we're going to move forward. And believe it or not, Patty, you know, between all of that, I think we just about used up the whole time. But I'll give you 30 seconds. Tell us something. Tell us what you actually did. We never actually introduced you in terms of what you did for USA. What did you do for them?
I was the Deputy Associate Program Manager for USA, and then the Associate Program Manager for flying out the shuttle program. And so basically ran all of the operations for United Space Alliance at KSC.
How big of a workforce did you have?
We had just about 4,000 people.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. And you managed them all with a little help.
With a little help, with a huge, just fantastic leadership team.
That's great.
That really did all the work.
Okay, well, here we go. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back, wrap up with our conversation. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
Space Talk on WMMB.
I put my glasses on so I can see this. Welcome back, everybody, as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk. As we continue along with the program today, I want to take a moment and look at our weekly look at the launch forecast here. What's going on? The next planned blast off, anyway, from the Space Coast is the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket set to fly on April 30th, 1 week from tomorrow. At 12:22 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the Falcon 9 will be carrying the company's Dragon spacecraft to rendezvous with the International Space Station. And as we've said, if all goes well, the crew aboard the station is then going to reach out to the Dragon with the robot arm, grab hold of the unmanned cargo ship, and then berth it to the, I think it's the Earth-facing docking port on the Harmony node. This is all part of NASA's new way of doing business, of commercially procuring cargo delivery services in place of the shuttle. And it is a critically important flight, not only to the space agency and the so-called new space community, but really for our entire space program. We're going to be talking more about all of the issues surrounding that launch on next week's Space Talk. And at the right now, we do plan live coverage of the launch here on WMMB again Monday, April 30th at 12:22 in the afternoon. For more information about all the various launches scheduled around the world, jump on the web to WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, and look for the link to our launch forecast. With us in the studio, Patty Stratton, formerly now, I guess, of United Space Alliance, the 2012 winner of the Debus Award presented last night at the Visitor Complex by the National Space Club Florida Committee. And we spent a lot of time, pontificating in the last segment, Patty, we didn't give you a chance to really talk a lot, which I know you're happy about. But tell us about, I want you to talk really quickly about some of the things that you were recognized for and were highlighted in Tracy Yates' video. I shouldn't say it's her video, but, yeah, she's nodding at me, but it really was. We all know that. Some of the great things you guys did that I don't think people were really aware of, I don't know if it really got a lot of coverage, but, you know, things like concerts and the VAB and pizza and all that. Talk about some of the things that you recognized early on that you needed to do for the workforce.
Well, one of the things that we really recognized is that you could, you know, the shuttle program was ending. We all knew that. And you could either sort of get caught up in the negative aspects of it, the negative press, or we could celebrate the legacy and the accomplishments that this great team and frankly the teams that came before us, the history and the legacy that they set for us. So we set out to create end our program safely with a great legacy, and so we looked for every opportunity to celebrate what we do. Celebrate it with our family. We had several open houses at KSC where we brought our families out. We had a huge celebration after the last launch, whereas, you know, you heard that Jimmy Buffett came.
Yeah.
And that was just a, you know, phenomenal event. It was a great way to celebrate the
launch. What are the Jimmy Buffett acoustics inside the transfer aisle of the vehicle assembly building?
Actually, he was outside.
Oh, okay.
He was outside. But it was great. I mean, it was pretty impressive, and everybody really enjoyed it.
Well, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble here because it was approved by the center director, but I think it was pretty neat that you guys were able to have a pizza and beer party in the VAB.
We did. Like we said, you know, we made history.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think that was one of
you thought launch day beans were bad enough, you
right,
know, pizza and beer in the VAB.
Yeah, but it was all done, and we thank Bob for, you know, approving that, and it, I think it went all the way to Washington for approval.
Yeah.
But
the point is that it was a great event, and it did what you wanted it to do.
It did, and it was to celebrate what we accomplished as a team. At KSC and really what we've accomplished as a nation, because it's a huge part of who we are as American public, and this team did it, and we need to be proud of it, and it is finished. Like we talked about, Discovery going to the Smithsonian, which was just a unbelievable event at the Smithsonian.
You were there.
I was there. It was fabulous. It was kind of like you know, the orbiters are family to us. They're like our babies.
Yeah, they're living.
And it was sort of like your babies all grown up. Your babies moved out of the house.
Off to college.
And now they're off to college. They're getting married, and they've gone to a great family who are going to love them as much as we love them.
You know, I can't, and this is amazing, Patty. I had the exact same feelings when I was on the runway, you know, watching this thing, because I've had three of my boys now move up, move out. And that emotion, that bittersweet emotion, that was what it was closest to. I remember the first day I took my oldest son down to college in West Palm, and that's when you left him. That feeling was exactly the same feeling. It was incredible. We've just got a couple minutes before I have to start wrapping up. I wanted to ask you this, too, because, you know, you were highlighted as a problem solver, and your team had to solve problems. I can't tell you how many times on this program and in other places we've seen a potential delay, and they're going to say, oh, my gosh, it's going to take 6 weeks to fix this thing before we're ready to fly, and like a week later you're ready to go. And we keep talking about the miracle workers. We keep talking about how this team can find ways to get things done. How did you do it?
Just phenomenally smart people, that, and very smart engineers, smart technicians, smart inspectors, and analysts who all came together. In a room, you would have the technicians who had the hands-on that knew the hardware, knew how it operated, and together with the engineers to solve the technical problem, they put everything on the table. Everybody had their say, and we all know that when you have a group of people trying to solve something, you have a better outcome than if just one person does it. And it was a a no-holes-barred conversation.
Yeah, I can imagine. Every idea is an idea, right?
Everything on the table, no judgment. It wasn't personal. There was nothing judgmental. It was, we have a job to do. Let's get it done, and let's go launch.
And you had the authority, didn't you? You had the authority to go do that. I mean, it didn't take a whole committee and 10 weeks of review and all that. I mean, ultimately, someone had to approve it, but didn't you have a lot of freedom in what you were able to do?
We did. We had a lot of authority when it came down to solving the problem, and then we took it to a flight readiness review, and it was went through our rationale and talked about it, and then it was approved by the program, and we went forward.
That's great.
And I think it's a testament to how much trust the program, trust and respect the program had in the workforce.
Well, Patty, we need to start wrapping up. You've been great in terms of, we awarded you, we honored you, but really you made it clear we were honoring the whole team. And I think that's why this was so appropriate, just kind of speaking on behalf of the Space Club as a board member. It was so appropriate to have you be the honoree this year, because it was really an opportunity to honor the shuttle workforce in a year that this was the perfect year to do it and the only year to do it. And, I guess our thanks to you and the entire team for everything that you did for the program, for the nation, for history, for kids, for inspiration. I mean, that's it. I'll start crying if I say anything more like you did last night.
Well, thank you. Like I said last night, I was honored to accept the word on behalf of the entire team.
That's great. Well, we need to start wrapping up. Next week on Space Talk, we are going to focus more closely on the SpaceX's Falcon 9 launch, talk about what it's going to mean for everybody. Don't forget to stay in touch with us throughout the week at WMMBAM.com. That's all for now. Space Talk is a production of Mylas Solutions and is brought to you thanks to the generous help of supporting sponsors Space Florida, Boeing, Abacus, SpaceX, and United Launch Alliance. My thanks to Sean Williams for manning the ops station for today's program. Please join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for another live hour of Space Talk. Stay tuned now as WMMB presents a weekend edition of the Best of Bill Mick Live. I'm Jim Banky. We'll talk to you again real soon.